How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
Welcome in to All Pro Lines, the podcast, everybody. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for jumping on Facebook to take a peek at what we're doing, however you're consuming. Driving in your car, listening while you're sweeping up. Sweeping up. I don't know. I used to sweep up back in my construction days. I used to do a lot of sweeping up. I wish I had podcasts then. I'm your host, Kostaki Economopoulos. We're doing monthly this season. We're seeing how that goes. We appreciate you listening. Football. We got lots to talk about football wise, and we got a very special guest, Aaron Hodges. Some of you might remember that name. My old partner, great friend, Aaron Hodges will be here to discuss the new album that just dropped this week, which he had a lot to do with. I did the comedy and he did all the rest. It's a lot of doing, and we'll talk to him about the process and what it takes and what his part of it is and blah, blah, blah. Hello to Ron Milford. Thanks for being here, brother. And Ewan Mead. Frankfurt Yellow Jackets have clinched a playoff spot in the All-Pro Lions Fantasy League. Also in the Fantasy League, Ron Milford, who I believe is on track to have the lowest points in the 16-teamer, beat me this week to probably knock me out of playoff contention. Thanks a lot, Ron Milford. Good dudes, both of you guys. Thanks for being here on the Facebook page. If you're listening and you didn't know that that was an option, you can join us first Monday of the month on the Facebook page. We actually do it live here, and we have a little interaction as well. This next month, FYI, I'm going to be in Greece on the first Monday of the month, so it won't be then. I'll have to figure out. I'll do it either the week before or after. I'll sort it out. As long as we're doing some housekeeping, let's do this. The new album is out, Playing in Peoria. Get it wherever you get your albums, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify. There's a bunch. I can't keep up. But Aaron's got it out on all the major platforms, so check it out. I will be in Louisville, Kentucky this weekend at one of my old favorite clubs, the Caravan. Comedy Caravan's been there forever. It's one of those grizzled, awesome relics of the comedy arc in America. It opened in the early 80s and has been in the very same spot ever since. Great club. I'll be working on a bunch of new stuff. Come see me. You'll enjoy that show. I'm headed to Niles, Michigan and Portage, Michigan later this month. And I'll be headed to Vegas to watch the Atlanta Falcons beat the Las Vegas Raiders here in a couple of weeks with my brother. Hey, there's a certain Cowboys fan from Idaho. What's up? I always hesitate to say your name. Andrea. Accent on the on. Andrea. Yeah, Andrea. Shit. Anyway, good to see you, lady. She's great. She came and hung out a little bit after the show in Boise. Super fun. Said, got your album. That's great. Thanks, lady. We very much appreciate that. What are the other housekeeping things? Oh, Underdog Fantasy. I love it. I honestly love it. It's a product that I literally use. So join us and you get, we'll double your money up to $100 on your initial deposit if you use the link in the bio at the All Pro Lines fantasy pages, or you can type in the promo code All Pro Lines. We'll get you there too. BetMGM is our other friend in the gaming universe. They do more of the traditional, I got to be careful with some of the language I use, but you know what they do. and same deal. They always change their offers, but they have some preposterous, you can bet up to X amount, which is a big number. And if you lose the first time, you get your money back. Something go, whatever their current offer is, you get it through our link. It gives a little money back to us for sending you their way. All these are affiliate programs. It's the same concept. Most of these places have one offer that they offer, and you lose nothing by using our link, and we gain a little bit. So use our link. That's all we ask. Underdog Fantasy and BetMGM, our friends in that universe. Let's do some jokes. I got the drops back. I'm very excited about this. Haven't heard this in a couple months, so not that one, dummy.
The two-minute drill.
And hello to Heather Saigo, who's jumped in here. Howdy back to you, lady. Thanks for coming, guys. Sunday night, we had another great snow game. I know we already did some of these kind of jokes, but I can't help myself. That game was so white, it went to a TED Talk. It lobbied for a capital gains tax cut. That game was white. It was so white, it thinks Kendrick Lamar is a law firm. It was white. It knows the names of all of Jeff Dunham's puppets. You see how we write the jokes around here? It thinks Larry Bird was better than Michael Jordan. It was very white. It thought that Olympic breakdancer lady had some pretty cool moves. It thought Barbie should have won Best Picture. It was white. It had an ugly Christmas sweater party. That's a very white thing to do. It played hacky sack and went apple picking and bought a Vespa and has a moleskin notebook. It was super white. It threatened to move to Canada, but didn't. That's very white. It can list its 10 favorite IPAs. What's up, Jerry Oliver? Good to see you. Before the game, they said Buffalo is expecting 3 feet of snow, to which Rex Ryan responded, did somebody say feet? For Rex Ryan, 3 feet is the only thing better than 2 feet. Bill's quarterback, Josh Allen, got engaged. So his girlfriend got a ring before he did. I don't know. That doesn't seem right. Man, he's fun to watch. He's an easy kid to root for, as an old man might say. I have a car nut friend who was restoring an old MG, and he got a second one largely to use for parts. Christian McCaffrey has a little brother who's not as fantasy relevant. How are his knees and Achilles? I'm just asking. I think this is a fair question for the fantasy community. Lamar Jackson said his mother cussed him out for not running more in the game on Sunday. I don't want to know what Justin Tucker's mother said to him, because it was probably not good. And Justin Tucker should definitely not answer his phone if Mrs. Jackson calls. Okay, if you're a Bears fan, this might be a good time to take a bathroom break, because I'm going to trash your team for a couple beats. The Bears were down by 3 points on Thanksgiving. They had 32 seconds left. They were in field goal range, and it's third down with one timeout. Somehow, they didn't call a timeout. They squandered all of the time. They threw an incompletion on what ended up being the final play. What the fuck? Beavis and Butthead wasted less time than the Bears. It was such a weird use of the clock. Salvador Dali got a commission. You see, we're going to do several of these kind of jokes too. Let's go. Time might be an illusion, but the Bears finding new ways to lose is very real. I saw better game management in Tiger King. Coach Matt Eberflus is like the family pet. He's likable, he means well, and he has no understanding of the passage of time. The Bears are not good. It's like Chicago went to build a shitty bear. I had the over in the Bears game, the season over, and I nailed it. Eberflus has since been fired. Now he has a lot of time to kill. I think he's going to nail it. No one is more qualified to kill time than this guy. The Bears should just handle this the way some small towns do with their mayor. They should just elect a dog or a donkey or something. That'll be fine. The same understanding of the passage of time. The Bears are, I read this phrase, the Bears are seeking certain criteria for their new head coach. Are you going to be picky? All right. I imagine it's like a concussion test at this point. What time is it? What year is it? Who's the president? You're hired. The Bears haven't decided if they're going to use a search firm. Search firm, why not use an Alzheimer's test? Show the candidate a picture of a clock and ask him what time it is. That's it. The article I saw said the Bears want a leader of men type of head coach. How about a reader of clocks type? You know what I'm saying? How about we get someone who understands basic football principles? Someone who does things so that all of us at home don't go, what the fuck are you doing? That's not too much to ask, right? Also on Thanksgiving, to honor John Madden, the Giants offense played dead. Tis the end of the season for the Giants. It's like the Giants are playing checkers while the rest of the NFL is playing pretty good football. Thanksgiving week is when I could actually see Aaron Hodges' face while doing these jokes. He's in the lobby here, StreamYard. You stay there, buddy. I'll get to you in a minute. Thanksgiving week is when you remember why you hate your cousins. Kirk Cousins threw 4 interceptions and 1 touchdown. Unfortunately, the touchdown was to the Chargers. It's time to play with our Penix. Let's put Michael Penix in. It's not... Insert Penix here. Coach said he has no doubt that Cousins will bounce back. Well, put me down for some doubt. I have some doubt. Swiss Army Knife player Taysom Hill got carted off, but he did also drive the cart, park the cart, and gave the cart a tune-up. He does it all, everybody. He can't be stopped. Mike Tomlin said George Pickens needs to grow up in a hurry. Tomlin will absolutely get rid of you for being a pain in the ass, even if you're good on the field. He traded peak Antonio Brown and his frozen-ass feet for a late pick and a bag of chips. So tread lightly, Pickens. Get your shit together. Stop causing trouble, Georgia boy. Aaron Rodgers, long shot to stay with the Jets. And you know how much he hates shots. The Jets officially have their 9th consecutive losing season. One more, they get a free Subway sandwich. That's nice. The Jets are so bad, they're defying the law of averages, or as Aaron Rodgers calls it, the unproven theory of averages. It's easy to root against Aaron Rodgers, but ask yourself, do you want this guy to be unemployed and have more time to do his own research and appear on shows? At this point, I think we have to root for him to get better at football. He's now the biggest disaster in New York since a thing I'm not sure he believes happened. All right. Seahawks' Leonard Williams got a 92-yard pick six, the longest ever touchdown returned by a player weighing more than 300 pounds. Who tracks this stuff? It was a huge day for the big and a big day for the huge. Usually to move 300 pounds, 92 yards, you got to hire some union guys. Trevor Lawrence knocked out of the game on an ugly hit by a Texas linebacker who fans then pelted with cups of beer. You know how much people hate you to throw a stadium beer at you? It's a $15 FU. That's a pricey choice. Jaguars are now 2-10. Oh no, I hope this injury doesn't hurt their playoff chances. And finally, Tua is now 0-8 in games where the temperature is under 45 degrees. He's worse in the cold than George Costanza's penis. I was in the pool, he said. All right. You know him. You love him. Let's get him in here. It's Aaron Hodges, everybody.
Is that a shrinkage joke with the Costanza?
Shrinkage reference.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't a big Seinfeld guy, but I got the context.
You know shrinkage? You just said knew the reference. You just said the reference.
Oh, I know shrinkage. Yeah, that's one thing I do know.
CD wrapping, the shrink wrapping. So
yeah, of course. I have a bone to pick with you regarding Tua.
Oh, bring it.
Because he's my fantasy quarterback, and I think I saw one of your tweets making a joke about him being terrible in cold weather, and he was going to be in Green Bay, and. Stupid me used that information to decide to bench him.
Oh, and then he had a great game.
And then he had 30 points. And I don't know, depending on what happens tonight, unless the Denver Broncos defense comes up big, which they've had a couple big games, maybe they could do it. I'm probably going to lose my matchup because of that decision. So screw you and your Tua jokes.
I wish this mattered to me, but I lost my matchup. I'm supposed to be taking your playoff spot with this situation.
Right.
And I managed to lose to the lowest scoring team in the league this week.
Really? Wow. Yeah,
because Chris Rodriguez got a touchdown. Can you even name what team that is?
No.
That's exactly my point. Fantasy has a very big fluke factor, and I got walloped by fluke factor this week.
It happens, man. It happens. But you're still in the game. Like you said, I think there's another week.
And there's one more week, and if a bunch of weird – now I'm at that point where it's like,
yeah,
if this team and this team and I score 50 more than that, then I'm in one of those situations.
Me too. I'm staring at the standings below me and saying these two, if I'm tied with them, like you and there's one other person that can take my spot, and it could definitely happen. Unless
it could happen.
I win next week.
I would like some flukiness back my way. We'll see what happens. It's always fun. All right, we got a bunch more people chiming in here. Let's see. Andrea said, "Hey, Aaron, good to see you."
Hey, Andrea.
Yeah. Andrea, we were just discussing how to say her name. I got it right, finally.
I think we've talked about that before. My fault.
I know. I'm still haunted because I dated an Andrea. So that's my, and my brother is Andrea. So it's very hard for me not to.
Yeah, yeah.
Andy Merriman's showing his face in here.
He won't be showing his face in the league very long.
Oh, for those of you not in on the fun, we have a 16-team PPR league that we play, the All Pro Lines Listener League. We've been playing for years. How long have we been playing, Aaron? It's been almost a decade.
Like, probably, yeah.
Maybe 8 years, give or take a little, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And it's a relegation league. The bottom two teams get kicked out. And this year we changed the format a little bit. The bottom record team and then the least scoring points team. Both of whom are right here on this thread.
Oh, he has both of those?
No, Ron Milford is likely to be lowest points.
Oh, I see.
And Andy Merriman is on track to be lowest record.
Got it. Got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Andy wants us to know this is eight-ish and past winner. Past winner, Andy Merriman.
Oh, no kidding. He's a past winner and he's commissioner, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes. That's going
to come. Might have to retroactively sneak in a commissioner clause.
Commissioner clause. Well, remember, we debated once on air and we included both of us to be we were eligible for relegation.
Is that right?
We've committed to that.
I don't remember these deliberations.
I don't think we can allow the commission. What we could do, I could pitch this right here on the air live. What we could do is try to talk Andy into continuing to be the commissioner next year without him playing and then have him rejoin the year following. Because we always had the invite, if you get kicked out, to reapply. Not sure how that's gonna fly, but that's my pitch.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll swirl it around a little bit, see what happens.
He's a great commissioner, and he's doing very well in the Dynasty League. I play with him. He's a good player, but this year he's coming in 16th.
It happens.
It does happen. It certainly does. Ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum. I have so many things to talk to you guys about. I'm not sure where to begin. Congrats on putting out an album, my friend.
I know. No, congrats to you.
It's a lot of doing. We did it. It's a lot of doing for both of us in completely different ways. In fact, I think, we don't want to get too in the weeds, but maybe you could tell the listeners a little bit about what you do, because it's a giant mountain of things when it comes down to it. You literally flew to Peoria.
Drove.
That's right. Drove to Peoria, brought all the equipment, recorded the thing, set up the thing, edited the thing, titled the things. And then all the next steps are even harder for me to fully understand. And I want to give you a compliment along the way. You're great at all of the parts. That's why I wanted to work with you again, especially the very elusive understanding comedy and editing part.
Thanks, man.
You got a real knack for that most people don't understand, you know what I mean? Like, don't understand editing comedy. It's a very subtle art.
Sure. Yeah.
And then you have a whole new sea of things to do after that. And we worked on the cover together and the thing in the back and the, it's a lot of doing. So tell us more.
I'm not sure how interesting a lot of it is, but driving to Peoria, it was kind of insane because I was I did it with one arm. I had broken my wrist. I'm not sure last time I talked about it on the show here. But yeah, I had broken my wrist in March. Yeah, St. Patrick's Day, March. And I was still in a soft cast. And I think it was the weekend I was getting back from Peoria. I was getting the cast off, I think.
Yeah.
So basically it was like, I drove, man, I don't even know. I forget how long it was. I broke it up into 2 days, drove from New Jersey to Peoria. I did it in 2 days, but I think it was like 14 hours or something like that. Something ungodly like that.
Yeah, it's far.
Maybe more. I think it might've been more. But yeah, and then you and I stayed in the Airbnb together, which was
like an old colonial house.
what a strange city Peoria is.
It's a funny mix of things. Yeah, we were in like an old single family home.
Yeah.
In a regular suburban neighborhood, not a tourist attraction. Just the weirdest choice to be an Airbnb.
No, and I was talking to my cousin who travels a lot in the Midwest on Thanksgiving. We were talking a little bit about Peoria. He's familiar with it. And, I mean, I don't know what it's like coming from the West, but coming from the East, it's almost like Peoria is this oasis in the middle of nowhere. Because, like, for a while you're driving and there's nothing. And then all of a sudden it's this kind of sort of bustling city with, you know, some seedy places and some nice places like any other city.
Right, right.
But it just feels like it's in the middle of nothing, though. So it was almost like a relief to be back in civilization.
It's like seeing the Statue of Liberty after traveling across the Pacific for 2 weeks.
The Planet of the Apes. The jukebox comedy is the Statue of Liberty for the Planet of the Apes, basically. So I was like, you know, it's so funny.
It surprisingly has a skyline. You don't think that for a town that small.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little bit of a downtown with some big buildings in the whole big city scene for like 5 blocks. It's pretty small, but there is a downtown.
Yeah. And that comedy club. Woo!
You said it, brother.
I've never seen anything like it, man. I've never seen anything like it. And from what you've told me, it's nowhere close to what it used to be with the surrounding neighborhood, right? What was it used to, I know there was a racetrack across the street.
Across the street is a small oval dirt track, which is active. Like they have car races there. There was actually one there on a Saturday night, the same as two shows at the club. And next door was a long-standing strip club, which has since burned down.
Oh, wow.
Weirdly, I never went. I don't know how all those years I went there and never once stepped foot in that strip club. And now I'm sad because it's gone. I feel like I should have once.
Yeah, you're not married anymore. You could tell us the truth.
I never did. Dan used to go over there. The guy that ran the place. I never, whatever reason. I much preferred when in the old days they would put us up downtown, and then there were some cool pubs down there, and you could like go have a drink and then walk home. You know, it's a cool scene. I like that setup. But anyway, that club to me, it's funny that you've never seen anything like that. To me, that's almost the gold standard of what most comedy clubs are. It's like it's run by one nerd who loves comedy and scrapes it together to make this place survive after all these years, and it just barely hangs on, and you don't want to see it with the lights on, but it has so much heart, and the sound is good, and the layout's good, and the crowds are good. It's weird. It's like a weird, there's a few of those. In fact, a lot of comedy clubs are kind of like that. They're mom and pop operations that barely hang on, and they're run because the person or people love comedy and want to still be attached to it, even though business-wise, it's a giant pain in the ass that doesn't really generate a lot of revenue.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Dan who runs the club. You know, he's a character.
Oh, he's such a character and a mensch. And like, he loves comics and he loves the process. And I just looked at his lineup this week and I was like, oh, he's books quirky, good comics every week. It's great.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was a little bit like confused as to why when we first pulled up to the club, just to kind of like get a lay of the land and figure out where I was going to put microphones and whatnot. He was very hesitant to turn the lights on.
Right. It's funny.
And I quickly found out that's because, well, maybe the roof leaks a little.
It's got some issues. Yeah. Yeah. It's got some problems.
But I'm sure he's fixed it by now.
I'm sure he has. And it was nice to turn over the keys and let, you know, you're basically rewiring the whole thing for the show. You know, like,
it takes
some doing to kind of trust us enough to do all that stuff.
Sure. I'm kidding. But he was very accommodating. And it ends up being, I think it sounds really, really good. The album, it's funny. And I think it captures that weekend really well. I mean, it was, well, what would you say? 90% one show, I would say. It was like 90% one show and then maybe a couple jokes from another.
Yeah, we basically picked the show that kind of had the most sort of feel and vibe and, you know, it had some pop to it. And then you do a little magical editing to make sure you include this bit that wasn't included or that for some reason this joke killed the next night. You know, we did a little bit of that, but it was mostly the one, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was so good to reconnect with you, too, because I hadn't seen you in person in so long and barely talked. We've barely talked. And I mean, not only that, like the personal connection, but I mean, this was the first time I put out an album in a long time. And you were the first album that I put out on the label. So it was all kind of a nice coming together moment for me where I was like, oh, maybe I can sort of reconnect with this comedy thing. Cause I'm like, I just, you know, the pandemic, obviously it messed things up a little bit. And I sort of like lost my way and my passion for things for a little while and went through a lot of life changes. And I think comedy kind of was like, I don't know if I even have a place here anymore if I want to keep doing this. And I've just barely been doing enough to just sort of keep the lights on. But you know, reconnecting and going through the process with you, I really appreciated it, man. And I think we put out a really good album.
I agree. We're right back at you, man. Obviously when I wanted to do an album, there's no second place. I wanted you right away. So I'm glad you agreed to do it. Agreed to drive across America to record.
I just had to get out of the house for a while. I was sick of the house, you know?
So it's out all the platform. What's give me a nice, quick, easy way to say it. What do you say? It's wherever you get your albums. It's Amazon, iTunes.
Yeah, Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, you know, all the places where people listen to music and comedy. It's there. Go take a listen. And I don't know, maybe hit Kostaki up. Let us know what your favorite tracks are. What's your favorite track?
Oh, good question. You know what? There's a bunch of the big clean chunks on there, which are some of which, or at least a version of them, are on the dry bar. So those.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, happy Friday. Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
Are out because I already kind of, in my head, I've already kind of done some of those in other places. But I really like the chunk of stuff about people, like, you can't joke about that. I like that chunk a lot. And I like that we got a good recording of a bunch of the stand-up stories that I sometimes tell. I'm glad that's on there. And you know, if you haven't heard any of it or want to hear it in full in its sort of apex form, all the divorce jokes are on there, and there's some really good ones.
Excuse me.
So I'm proud of that. I think we did a good job, and the sound is great, and the editing is great. The jokes are good. It's a good album, man. It's good.
Let's go get it, Kostaki Economopoulos, playing in Peoria. And do you want to say why you called it that?
I wanted to kind of give a nod to that club and that place. And I always like that old expression of how does it play in Peoria. And I'm, you know, I'm of the road. You know, there's some comics who sort of are from New York or LA. And there's this sort of weird dichotomy between comics and sort of their backgrounds. And I'm definitely a creature of the road and from the road. And so Peoria is like, it's the road, man. It's the middle of America, and it's gritty and it's cool. And it's real people who work, you know, real jobs and come to the show at night. And that's the kind of place that I usually, you know, I'm usually telling jokes. So I love that it's recorded in a place like that, especially this one, because it's run by a goofy comedy mensch. And that club in a lot of ways is like a symbol of my career, where it's like you have a couple of magical shows, you're like, I'm the king of comedy, and then you have a show where you're like,
yeah,
how come we only sold 17 tickets, what the fuck? And then you know like you hang and talk to people after, and it just has the full range of things. I'm glad we did it there. I'm glad it worked out.
That's pretty cool. You have now, at least, I don't know about your previous albums, but Live at Acme and playing in Peoria, two basically like touch points of comedy, right? Like those are destinations where people want to be. And those are cool clubs to sort of have recorded Acme, albums, right?
Acme, I'm very proud of too, for a completely different set of reasons. It's sort of one of those giant, you know, when comics are discussing their favorite places to tell jokes, it's always top five. It's run by a mensch too, but it's a completely different universe of thing. They book top-notch comics from all over the place all the time. And that's one of those places where, like, lights on or off, you go in and it's a fucking
it's
monster
clean,
club.
Baby.
It's the ceiling is low and the walls are stone, and it's, you know, the crowds are smart, and it's a full week. You go there Tuesday through Saturday, and it's a really good restaurant. You never get good food at a comedy club. And that place has great food, and they put you up in a nice hotel that's walkable from the thing. And you're in this big city, you know, and you're in kind of the lights of the big city. You know, it's not New York, but it's Minneapolis is a big city. And Acme's great for a completely different set of reasons. But yeah, you're right. It's another. And one of my earlier albums is recorded at one of my favorite places too. Go Bananas in Cincinnati. It's a great club as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the really good ones. I haven't been there in years, but that's another kind of popular place amongst comics. So yeah, I've been lucky and I've worked hard, and we did it, man. We did it. Let's shift to football. Maybe I got the drops back. So,
you did. Okay, good.
Got the band back together.
Yeah good.
Yeah. So let's do this.
That's
good producing.
Production.
That's good producing right there. Good job. I'm going to go Mike Tomlin.
Oh, okay. All right.
Beat the Bengals this week, 44-38. I kind of knew vaguely this story, but I looked it up to make sure I had the facts right. This week, he clinched his 18th
the winning
consecutive
season,
non-losing season. Mm-hmm. He's been the coach. This is his 18th year. He has 15 winning seasons and three seasons of 500. And 11 of those 18 years that went to the playoffs. I mean, that's astounding. In the league that has this much turnover and free agency and chaos and competitiveness, and it's amazing that you could sustain and not have a losing season in 18 years. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it's not like he hasn't had a share of, you know, tough years, like when Roethlisberger's been injured for like the whole year. I think there was a couple of those years, really.
Right. And now he's got the ghost of Russell Wilson throwing the ball.
Is Russ cooking? He's cooking now, huh?
Yeah, ish. I don't know. Ish. Somehow. It's amazing. I wish he was my coach. He's great.
Wow. I don't know how is that Ewan Mead? Just wrote in
Ewan,
the comments.
I think, yeah.
Ewan. Three Steelers coaches since 1969. That's consistency, man.
No shit. And the other two are in the Hall of Fame. So
Cowher and who else?
It's come on, Ewan, help us out. It's is it Chuck
Woolery?
Norris is the name I almost said. I'm so dumb. What is his name? I gotta look it up.
Don't worry about it.
No,
Chuck Knoll. Chuck Knoll.
Yes, of course.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, they've had first of all, it's an organization that's run well, you know, like from the very top.
Yeah.
And then to have made the decisions to get these good guys to stay there and be good for, I mean, that speaks to the hiring process and from the top down. Everyone chimed in Knoll exactly the same moment. So yeah, kudos to them and the coaching and the fan base and the, you know, it's like, that's a really, that to me is the gold standard of a well-run organization.
Mm-hmm.
We used to think of it as the Patriots because, you know, but so much of that was about Tom Brady, which became clear later when
he
wasn't there anymore.
Right. So now is Tomlin the gold standard currently of coaches in the NFL?
He is to me. If I was trading, I mean, McVay would be on my short list, but I would pick Tomlin if I was picking.
How many Super Bowls does he have?
Tomlin?
Is it three?
I don't know.
If you don't know the answer, that's all right. But like, yeah, he's got at least two.
I had the Tomlin page open earlier. I closed it. Tomlin Super Bowls.
But yeah, that's astounding, man. And I mean, obviously, like, I don't know if the coaching leash was as short as it is nowadays. When he first started, it probably wasn't. Maybe they got a little bit more time to establish themselves, but so maybe he was quote unquote lucky to get in when he did. But I mean, there were a few seasons where they were calling for his head, I'm sure, and then he ends up, you know, pulling it out and being very successful. And so he had 18 consecutive winning seasons.
Yeah, and not just consecutive, like all of his seasons.
Like never had a losing season ever.
Never had a losing season as head coach. All right, wow. This says Tomlin won two Super Bowls. Assistant coach, he won with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then head coach, Super Bowl XLII, whatever that is.
Whatever that is.
55 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he won one as a head coach, looks like. That's cool. What a great run. Anyway, that's my taps. That's my kudos. How about you, man?
You ever seen have you ever had like a couple of friends who are dating and you're friends with both of them?
Oh. You know what? I know this situation, but I've always had a clear, you know, I was definitely friends with
more first. Clearly.
I haven't had like kind of a tie situation.
I'm sure some people can relate to this. You're friends with both people, and you at some point you start to realize that maybe they shouldn't be together and that one of them is probably too good for the other.
Yeah, so I've definitely seen that.
Right. Well, I mean, I've experienced that as a Giants fan and Saquon Barkley, and you know, I used to basically watch the Giants games just to see Saquon play, because that's all they had left. That's all there was left to being a Giants fan for me.
Oh.
I just want to give my taps to Saquon Barkley for moving on and being in a better place for himself and going to a place where he is appreciated and is having an outstanding year, to the point where they are recreating moves and animations in video games for what he's capable of. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I watched the Eagles sideline react to his backwards hurdle.
Oh, yes.
And that's just that. I mean, I watched a little bit of the game yesterday. Who did they play yesterday? Ravens Eagles yesterday, and just watching him run through holes and just, I mean, he's an amazing player. Obviously, like, that'll go down in Giants history as one of the worst decisions the GM has made, to not pay him and to decide to pay Daniel Jones, who is now a Viking, and who, he should have always been a Viking. That's who he's always been. So I hope that maybe he finds similar success. I don't think it's likely, but my taps go to Saquon Barkley for leaving a situation and making the best of it.
No kidding.
Taps on the back.
What a season. It's crazy. I mean, did you watch any of that? What was the show that is
the Hard Knocks
and the off season Hard Knocks?
Whatever. No, I've seen clips, but I did not watch the show. No,
I'm not claiming to be some seer of the future, but you know, as a casual fan of football, I watched that series, and the whole time I'm like, why are you letting Saquon go? You're insane. It was like another $1 million. It wasn't even like real money by NFL standards. And they, and you see them in the boardroom, like, discussing this kind of stuff. And I'm literally watching on my couch, like, this is not the right answer. Like, we right. haven't seen the season begin yet. And as a casual fan, I just can't. I mean, it seems like such a crazy choice to make, but they yeah. made it, and he's gotten lucky with injuries. I know that's part of the decision calculus in letting him go, because he had injury problems. But sure. man, he looks good this year. He's fun to watch, and he's definitely improved that team dramatically. And his absence has really hurt the Giants. And it's the Daniel Jones thing was clearly a terrible decision. And so it's just like, I don't know how that guy has a job. I mean, you could see Mara is like in the office discussing it with, and I'm sure you've seen the clip a million times where he gets up from the couch, this old man, and he goes, I'm just saying, if Saquon winds up on the Eagles and has a great year, I'm not going to be able to sleep.
Well, I think
it happened.
We had I wonder if he still has the job. Well, maybe I shouldn't say his name, but we had a guest on the show a long time ago who has sort of an inside track on John Mara. And do you remember him say this conversation about John Mara throwing chairs and being very angry?
Oh, I don't remember that. I know the guest you're talking about.
Yeah. So I kind of enjoy picturing that scene happening every week. Like, you reap what you sow, bro. You got this guy in charge who's like, oh, I'm going to put my stamp on the team. And you know, the stats and the analytics say don't pay a running back. Yeah, except for when he's the heartbeat of your team and the right. only offense you have.
Right. Yeah, and you see Mara, like, discussing this with him. He goes, but he's by far the most popular
player.
Yeah. player on the team. Like, I just don't know if we can let a guy like that go. And they're debating and discussing, like, what are we going to have for lunch? You know, it's funny that it really comes down to a couple of guys talking like that about something that's has such huge implications for the whole story arc of the NFL and the fan bases. And it's like two guys like, well, I don't know. We went to Chipotle last time, you know, like,
extra guac or no this time. I mean, should we go for the extra guac? I'm not sure.
It is amazing that it really is, you know, it's humans trying to do their best.
We have this extra large stale rice that we can have instead. I would rather pay for that, maybe.
That's what they'd picked. It's crazy. Yeah,
stale rice.
You get it. You get what you get. Yeah. It's fun to see Rodgers fail, too. Those are my I'm enjoying that very much. I know
I'm a little bit disappointed, like, overall, because, like, if you go back, like, I don't know. How long has Rodgers been in the league now? Is it like 15 years, 16, 17, 20? I don't know.
Oh.
But there was a point where, you know, I would have argued with anybody that he was the best quarterback in the league.
I'd probably agree with you. He definitely was. And he definitely, in terms of the length of time that he was dominant, I mean, he's one of the best of all time, for sure. I wouldn't doubt that. I don't question that.
Yeah, it's just a shame that he's just become, you know, who he is.
I agreed. It's a good segue to this.
All right, kids, put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
Who's the oldest player currently in the NFL?
Oh, man. I'm the wrong guest for this.
You know, I wouldn't have known this.
Can you give me a hint? What position he plays?
Well, I really set this up because the second oldest is the one that's the interesting answer.
Oh, okay.
In my opinion, I wanted to get to those two. And after that, it's some kickers and some
Joe Flacco. So it's not Justin Tucker. He's not the oldest.
He's not. No.
It's got to be like a backup quarterback then. Let's go with Joe Flacco.
The oldest player in the NFL currently playing is Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I thought you might get that one. That one I might have guessed. I might not have guessed. But the second oldest player is fascinating. Do you have any idea who this is?
Nah, I mean, Joe Flacco's my best guess.
All right, I'll give you one hint. He's a tight end.
It's not Mercedes Lewis, is it?
It is Mercedes Lewis.
He's still playing?
He's still playing? He is on the Bears. And last year he played all 17 games and he actually got a touchdown on Christmas. Or
whatever. Oh my goodness. I can't believe he's still playing.
And he blocks and he'll occasionally make get like one target here and there.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's 40. He's a 40-year-old tight end who played high school ball in the 90s.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my God.
You never see a 40-year-old tight end ever.
No.
Joe Flacco is like third or fourth on this list, and then it's some kickers and a couple of cornerbacks.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers is the oldest, and then Mercedes Lewis. Good job pulling that out of your ass. Very impressive.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
All right, here's a fun sub question. Mercedes Lewis is actually older than three current head coaches. Do you have any guesses as to who those guys are?
Sean McVay is one.
No, I thought so too. He's finally older. We keep thinking of him as the young guy, but now it's been a few years now.
Yeah, the Chargers have a kid, right? They got a kid coach.
No, the Chargers have Harbaugh. They have the opposite.
Oh, okay, yeah, I missed that.
Harbaugh won in Michigan and became the Chargers coach. And now the Chargers are good, which is fun. I'm in LA and I like that team. It's the Seahawks kid, Mike McDonald, 37. Okay. Gerard Mayo for the Patriots at 38.
Oh, okay.
And Brian Callahan is 40 years old but younger on the Titans.
Okay.
Those are fairly obscure names, but those are the young coaches in the NFL right now. Crazy. All right, one last fun question. What is the only day of the week with no NFL games this 2024 season?
That's got to be let me think about it.
It ain't Thursday.
Yeah.
It ain't Saturday. It ain't Sunday. It ain't Monday.
It's Tuesday, right?
It's Tuesday because there are two games on Christmas Day, which is a Wednesday this year.
Okay. All right.
And we had a Black Friday game as well. And then, of course, once the college games end, they play a bunch of games on Saturdays for a little while at the end of the season. So it's either Tuesday or Wednesday. And this year we have Christmas Day games.
That's like, fun.
We're coming at you, NBA.
Yeah. Yeah. NBA is a big deal on Christmas.
No kidding. I'm surprised they did that. I'm surprised there wasn't some professional courtesy or something.
NFL professional courtesy.
I do seem to have it there seem to be some. Is there a rule? Do they sign a contract about college? College doesn't do Sunday and they don't do Saturday during the season. What is
you know better than me, my friend?
Is it unspoken? Is it just tradition? Is there a broadcasting rule or some kind? There must be an answer to that.
Ron wrote Netflix in the chat. Is that where the game is? Yeah, what's with all the streaming? All the platforms have different games now.
Yeah, everybody wants a tiny piece of the NFL, and they could sell it at high dollar. So it's obnoxious. Once in a while, you got to get a Peacock subscription or There's a fucking, you know, Amazon does the Thursday, which is a pain in the ass if you don't have Prime. And sometimes you go to a bar to watch the game and they don't have Amazon. You're like, what the fuck? You know, there's all those kind of things that happen now. Black Friday was, I think that was an Amazon game too. And then Netflix. Yes, Netflix.
That's wild.
I think Netflix is the Christmas because they were talking shit about the
Tyson Paul game,
the issues with the fight. Tyson fight. Right. Yeah. They better get it together before they have NFL games. People are going to freak the fuck out.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. We got one more segment.
But now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens?
Super long pause.
Time for which comes first.
Giants division winner, Falcons Super Bowl appearance.
Oh, the Giants winning the division for the season?
Uh-huh.
Or Falcons Super Bowl appearance. I love how you lowered that standard.
I got to lower the bar there, yeah. I'm trying to think of things that are roughly even. The Falcons are ahead, you know. They definitely could win a division and have a run here in the next couple of years, or not.
And this is tough because this is tough. I don't know much about the trajectory of the Falcons and how they're doing. What's their record now?
They are 6-6. Uh-huh. They are tied with the Saints, and the other two teams are nowhere close. But they beat the Saints twice, so they hold the tiebreaker. The Saints have a really smushy schedule going forward, so they're in position to come back. But both teams lost this week, so who knows?
So Cousins is the quarterback. How are you liking him?
I liked him a lot till this week.
Yeah? What did he do?
This week was 4 picks, and one was a pick 6.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's not good.
So this week you get immediately all the articles start popping up. Is it time to bench Cousins? And will they trade him next year and go with Penix? Should we see what Penix has yet? You know, immediately all of that bubbles in this week.
Right. So he's the rookie that's in the wings?
Yeah. He was 8th overall. He was picked ahead of Knicks and some
has
other guys.
Has he played at all?
Yeah, he's been mop-up duty only.
Okay. All right, so it's Bucks, Saints, Falcons, and Carolina? Is that the division?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And Carolina is maybe the worst team in the NFL. Certainly bottom three. And, you know, oh, did I say Saints? The Saints are terrible, and the Bucks are 6-6. I got it backwards.
Got it.
Traditionally, the Saints are the good team, but lately it's been the Bucks. Sorry.
This is actually a good comparison.
They have Baker Mayfield, who has been playing great.
Right. You know I'm a fan of Baker.
Yeah, me too.
It's tough, though, because now, I mean, I know the Eagles are going to be good for quite some time.
That's the other thing. You have a good division you got to somehow fight through. And now the Commanders are going to be good.
They're on the rise. Their quarterback looks like the real deal.
And the Cowboys, despite me loving making fun of them for sucking, they're going to at least be in the conversation for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. But they're going to be terrible. But the Giants have, I mean, what hope do they have to be division contenders right now? Like, almost none.
Right now, they have no hope.
Right. This year, for sure. There's no hope. Next year, like, how much do they improve next year? I don't know. They'll probably they'll draft a quarterback.
Can I interest you in Kirk Cousins, perhaps?
I would love nothing more than Kirk Cousins to just get passed around the league for the last, like, it's 3 years.
Very much could.
Yeah.
No, but your team's going to get a, you know, Sam Darnold type next year.
Oh, say it.
And slow. Or draft draft a big name.
It's really tough. But I have to believe that the Falcons are probably further away from a Super Bowl appearance than the Giants are from a division win. Because, I mean, well, that's but maybe right. Maybe not. Maybe that's just me being hopeful and biased. But it would have to take, like, a lot of injuries on the Eagles and for them to have, like, a terrible year. And the Giants just kind of sneak in at, like, what's a good record to sneak in now? 9-8?
10-7.
Yeah. 9-8. and they sneak in and win the division that way. It have to be like a miracle. They get the Sanders kid or whatever, and he's as good as people think he is, and just has like a fluke season. I don't know. But I mean, like, it's easier to win a division than it is to appear in the Super Bowl. That's for sure. Yeah. So Giants get the division win before the Falcons.
Easier to win a division, even though it's a tougher division. I think you're right. I think it's close. I think I did a good job finding something that was 50-50-ish. But I think I tip a little towards your argument. You convince me.
All right.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right. I think we did everything we came here to do. Hey, Glenn chimed in.
Yeah. What's up, Glenn? How are you, buddy?
He says Falcons, Bucks, and we both suck. Yeah, we know. We got there. And
both of these things might happen in 2032. Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, everyone's correcting my Saints dumbness. Yeah, okay, you guys are right. I love the people chimed in here. It's great to see you, Glenn, and Andy Merriman and Ron Milford. And that's cool. Appreciate you guys. Ewan and Jerry and Heather and Andrea. All right, cool. Troy John. Oh, there's a couple other names. Chris Eckstein. Thanks for joining us, guys. What, do you want to plug anything? Plug you Lucky Dog Productions or anything over there?
Sure. YouLuckyDogProductions.com. Check out some albums. Playing in Peoria. Go get it.
Get it
while it's hot, baby.
Brand new album, everybody.
iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon, all that. Yeah.
We don't do this often, but it's a good one. And check out Kostaki.com for my tour date stuff. I'm doing Louisville, Niles, and Portage here soon. And I'm doing Topeka and some other stuff at the beginning of the year. So we'll see you out there. And join us on the socials. Follow at All Pro Wines on the social media platforms. And at Kostaki Economopoulos. And at You Lucky Dog Productions. And at Caption Kangaroo. Why not join that one too?
Okay. There you go. Hey, while we're at it, I guess at Soccer Coach Aaron on Instagram. I just started a soccer coach account.
So
if anyone cares about me talking about soccer and coaching soccer, at Soccer Coach
Aaron. I think I do care about that. That's cool. I would like to follow. We'll do.
Cool.
Thanks so much, buddy. Good to see you. Good to hear your voice.
You too. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And I'll figure out the schedule of the next one because I'm going to be in Greece on the first Monday and blah, blah, blah. But I'll talk to you in a month-ish. Enjoy the football. Have fun.
Bye, everybody.
Go Falcons. Whee.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.